Take your Bibles, if you would. My throat seems a little funny. I don't know what it is. I was going to phone Marcel, but I didn't get sick soon enough. 2 weeks notice. 2 weeks notice. I thought, well, I'll just wait. I'll go light, a little light in the first service, and so I can make it through the second service and go to the annual meeting, which none of us want to miss. All right, there we have it. I've called this "Why the Bible is a Bestseller." Were you conscious of, did you know this? That it is the number one selling book in the entire world and always is every year. There's not anything even comes close. Millions and millions and millions and millions of Bibles. People receive them, have them. It's the number one bestseller. Now, why would that be? You can see maybe during a period of spirituality or something that you might get a bit of interest. Why is it? Well, that's a good question. And I want to address that here this morning. I was thinking back to my introduction to the Bible, how I first was conscious of the preciousness of this book and why it works so powerfully in our lives. It started for me with the Gideons, that I would have been, what are you when the Gideons come? 10. I would have been 10 years of age. And they took all the Catholics. The Catholics were, this is 1958, 59, I guess. They took all the Catholics out because the Catholics were not supposed to have a Bible. It's funny how that's changed now, right? Vatican II changed all of that. But that was, remember, they got separated. And the rest of us kind of happy pagans that were just, we didn't know maybe what was going on. We didn't go to church or Sunday school. But that, when they gave us it, and they told us about this is the Word of God, and gave it. I had that thing for a long time. I didn't read it so much, but I associated it with something that was important. Well, as I gave my heart to the Lord later, I received from the Sunday school teacher a zipper-bound leather King James Version. And you get a little zipper and you put it, you do it up. And it said on the inside of that, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." That was the introduction to that. And then later, years later, I ended up at a Bible school. And I don't know whether I bought it or somebody gave it to me or not, but it was the King James Scofield Study Bible. How many know? I meant the Scofield. We thought that was as important as the Scriptures. It was, but it was. It was very, very helpful. I had that for years. It stood up very well, the Scofield Study Bible. And then in 1981, I was thinking, when did this actually happen? I know the actual times of this. And so the NIV, the New International Version, I picked up my very first copy in 1981 and liked it very much. It was helpful. And then, but actually before that, I had received yet another Bible, which I enjoyed and still am enjoying it, and that is the New American Standard. Was a very accurate English translation. And I, in 1971, I remember purchasing it, and it was, again, it was helpful. Then in 2007, now we're getting closer to the era that you're here, I had the ESV. How many, you know what, I thought I was one of the first people to get an ESV. Because I'd heard that it was Jay Packer's Bible. He was on the selection committee for choosing, you know, how that would all work out. So the ESV, which I'm still enjoying and still appreciating, even to this day. So the point I'm making of all this, good, thanks. All of these was the Word of God, and I knew that it was God's Word. And I thought, you know, my life, from the very time that I knelt with this pastor and prayed to receive Jesus and invited him in, he turned me to John 3:16, from Romans 10, 9 and 10. Philippians chapter 3, or Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And it was the word of God. And the they read scripture with me and asked me, invited me to receive the Lord. I did that. The point I'm making is this. The Bible will change your life. So much so, can I be confident of this? I would say to you, mark down today what day it is. Mark it somewhere and commit yourself to reading the scriptures and studying the scriptures and with the idea of being transformed, of growth. You're reading it in order to obey it. If you approach that, now look at it 1 year from now, okay? So if you have so you can write it down that on this date in March, you committed yourself to Scripture. Say, Lord, I ask you to change me. Work in my life this next year. I don't have to guess. I know there will be growth. There's something about the Bible. And so I've gave five reasons why the Bible is always the bestseller. Reason number one, to get to know the Lord. This is how you get to know the Lord. The scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 and verse 16, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are, the sacred writings. The Word of God is a sacred book. And the Old Testament and the New Testament, and the power of that as you read that, but they're sacred, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable. Profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. It's a powerful book. And you don't even realize that you're changing until you apply it to your life. You can get to know the Lord through nature. Would you agree with me? You can get to know the Lord through nature. And you can get the Lord, know the Lord through testimony, that people are giving a testimony, and you hear enough of it, and you get to understand some things. But the primary way, the best way to get to know the Lord is by hearing and obeying the Word of God. That's the best. That's the most accurate, most encouraging way, the inspired Word of God. And I accept it, 66 books, 39 in the old, 27 in the new. I accept this as sacred books that God has given us, and they're not an accident. They're there because they're supposed to be there. And so that's the starting point. But God will take you somewhere. That's why people come back from a Bible school, and they're quite changed, right? People come back from, they've been studying something, and they're different. They've been as part of a small group, for example. And you can just, and you see around and say, boy, there's been some real growth in their life. What was it? It was the scriptures. And I know that in my own life. I know it in the life of other people as well. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. That's a truism. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's a very intriguing. That would be a good discussion for your group. Carried along by the Holy Spirit. In other words, God didn't write it. And a hand didn't come out of heaven and write the scriptures. Holy men of God were told by God what to write. And they wrote what they were to record. And it was written by man, but inspired by the Holy Spirit. For a while, first that bothered me, because I guess I thought God came down with his hand and he just directed their hands. But he just inspired them what to write. And you'll see that as we move along here. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, he says, your words, Lord, were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and a delight of my heart. One of the things that people have done for me over the years is give me a love for Scripture. There's no greater gift that if you love your Bible, because of other someone else's influence. It's a very, very powerful thing. And I would encourage you, fall in love with the Bible, because it will, you will get to know the Lord. You can go to the bank with this. It works every single time. Give yourself over to the Lord. Commit yourself to reading Scripture. And just watch. Now, I say that because stop doing it and see what happens. Don't bother reading your Bible. Don't no longer press in. Just ignore it. Just ignore it. And see how much non-growth and how your fears have increased. And how you no longer get to know the Lord because you're not in the Scriptures. So I just say, just stop reading your Bible and see how you decline. And how you're not full of love as you were. There's all kinds of side things that spin off. I'm afraid to stop reading the Bible because I know what I become. When I'm reading the Word of God, somehow it just begins to change you and work on your heart and your life. And I find if I'm reading the Bible, I'm more loving, I'm more tender, I'm more conscientious, I'm more patient. It just seems to work that way. So that's the first thing. It's a bestseller because it changes people's lives. Not just some document. It's God speaking His will and His plan for our lives. Number two, the reason the Bible is a bestseller because it's a powerful way to renew your mind. You can reprogram your mind. You know, when you come from the world, you are, at least most people are, full of stinking thinking, negative thinking. Their confession is very, very defeating. They don't know who they are. They don't know which way they're going. It's just because they've been in the world. If somebody has, for example, has a tremendous problem with low self-esteem, I'm always encouraged. I said, are they in the Scriptures? Because as they read that over and over again, they'll get their true identity. It will show how much God loves them as they read, especially the Gospels, right? They're reading about who Jesus is and how He's come to set them free. So you have this wonderful chance. You're not just destined now to think negatively your whole life, but you have a chance to lay hold of the Scriptures and watch what the renewing will do. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the renewing of your mind, your nous, the renewing of that. Psalm 1:1-3, thou shalt meditate on your word day and night, and you'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The person who is into the Scriptures has a strength. I don't even know how to describe it. But all I know that people, how they saw themselves, began to change, and they began to grow, and their minds have. And I would say, because I know these people, they're still growing. They're still having themselves shaped, week after week, month after month, year after year. They're reading their Bibles. And I don't think they would stop for a second, because it's the strength of a Christian, of a believer, and it's very powerful. So I want to think right, and when I'm in the Scriptures, I think right, because I get God's thoughts. I know what His heart is. I know that the reason that we study the Bible it's not primarily to get the doctrinal truths. It includes that, but it's not primarily it. It's so that you will know the mind and will and character of the Lord. The point of it is not so you know doctrines. The point of it is that you know the Lord, that it's a person that's inviting you to come and read His book. And now I'm like the rest of you. Sometimes I've set aside my Bible to watch a TV program and later regretted it. I said, why did I do that? Now I'm negative, and I didn't get anything hardly out of it at all. And so I've had to repent, saying, Lord, I watched that program rather than reading Your Word, and I know You wanted to fill me with unbelievable truths, and I would have gone to bed encouraged and strengthened, but I didn't. I just went to bed full of the world. You've been there? This is how the Scriptures make your life really come alive. How do I know that? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. That's how it comes, through the word of Christ. When I hear God's word, it begins to change me. Right from salvation, right through to sanctification. So that's what renew your mind. And again, if you don't think that's true, just stop reading and watch what will happen. You will find that you will start going back into old patterns. It just breaks in my life. It's such a refreshing thing to read. Like you read the psalm, and the psalm is just like you've been thinking. And I thought, what other book? You know, if you were to, well, you know, here's a good example with Irma, right here with us. What book could she pull out of her shelf that would help her at a time like this? Be looking over all the books. There's self-help, there's this, there's that. But as she reaches for the scriptures, in the worst, you know, in a difficult time, she reaches the Bible, the Word of God. Why? Because it will comfort her. It comforts us. It helps us. It changes us. You find there's no any other book on the shelf that does that. It's the scriptures that bring you into this reality with the Lord, and it's very, very, very powerful. Number three, the Bible is the bestseller because it cleans us inside and out. John 15:3, already you are clean because of the word. He gave them, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So he gives a word and it cleanses us, the cleansing of the word. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's what it does. There's direction and it can cleanse me. Psalm 119:9, how can a young man keep his way pure? What a amazing, in a sensual world, what a question to ask. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. That God can keep us from becoming very, very worldly and very unclean in your life. See, the scriptures, they must be. It's not a matter of knowing the scripture. It's a matter of obeying the scripture. And as you obey it, God will bring purity into your life. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active. Oh, all right. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Boy, what? It just covers everything. Very, very powerful. And that's, so it will, you want to read something, you want to say, how can I keep from being corrupted in a corruptive world? The Word of God. Be in the Word, and let the Word be in you. And I know that 5 years from now, we'll be talking, and I'll just looking at you, you can look at me, and we'll just see there's growth in our lives. God has been growing us. And we've cast off negative things and sinful things and sensual things in order that we might lay hold of the scriptures and let the scriptures fill our hearts and our mind. And again, if we don't, then we become just like the world, I'm afraid. And number four, the Bible is a bestseller because of what God has said in it. Now here's where the very first lie has come to bear. Has God, this is Genesis 3, has God indeed said? Has he said? Has God said? Are you sure? We've all been here with this question, where the enemy comes, and it says, the serpent was more crafty than any of the beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God actually say? Did God actually say, you shall not eat any of any tree in the garden? Well, he clearly said. But that's how the enemy comes in, and he steals the word from us. And he questions it. Pretty soon you wonder, did God really say that? Is that really inspired? Are we sure this is, we can trust this? And all types of it's like an attack on us. And it happens to many, many people. I have I have struggled. Is this, and we all have, is this the Word of God? Can I trust this book? Will it lead me astray? You know, Billy Graham, at an early point of his life in about 1948, there was a lot of higher criticism going on in seminaries, especially in universities. And he was being challenged by others that really, you know, this is not the Holy Spirit inspired. It's just a book. He went out into the woods. He tells the story. He went out into the woods and he knelt down and he opened the Bible and he laid it out. And he said, God, I'm really under attack with this. I don't know what, but I am going to believe that this is the Word of God. I'm going to risk. And so he put his Bible there, surrendered himself. Of course, because he was battling with Charles Templeton, if you remember that. Who? Yeah, exactly. Who is he? Billy Graham is one of the most famous people in the whole world because he dared to believe that he could put his trust in the Scriptures. And his testimony at the end of it, he's still around, right? He said, is that God's Word never failed. Never failed. All of those years, those fears that he had that it wouldn't stand the test, it wouldn't be able to stand up to criticism, stood up quite well for him. And he proclaimed that Word over and over and over and over again. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. Let me read this. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. There is a power in this book. And Jesus, remember, he's confronting Satan on the Mount of Olives. And he just says, get behind me, Satan. It is written. Get behind me. It is written. God's Word, God's Scriptures is the Word of God to our lives. And we learn how to wield the sword of the Spirit, and we are able to declare, and I have many, many, many times over my life felt darkness surrounding me and felt under attack, and just say, Father, your Word says, and I'm going to believe your Word. Your Word says this, 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 and this. Get behind me, Satan. I'm trusting God's Word. And of course, whenever you are faced with that, see, it's combative in one sense, but God uses that when there are anxieties about our life and attacks on our life, we bring forth the Scriptures again, and this wonderful, powerful Bible springs to action. It has always been true. It always will be true. And I always marvel now when I hear things, criticisms of the Scripture. Did they think that Martin Luther didn't? He believed the Bible. John Knox believed the Bible. All kinds of significant people believed the Bible. They trusted the Scriptures. Famous people. People that, and all of a sudden we've got a revelation, oh, that Jesus isn't divine and the Trinity doesn't exist. All those arguments. And I thought, why did we think all of a sudden that we got a revelation? It's the Word of God. It's always been, it's been true to the early church fathers, and it's true to this day. And you will have opportunity, even this week, to put it to the test. But the key is that you want to be in a growing mood so that you are just coming to the Lord over and over and over again, but not being overcome by the doubts and criticism. They'll always be there. In every generation, in my generation, in Marcel's generation, there'll always be attacks, and it will be on the Bible. It has never stopped being on the Bible. It has always been attacks against the Bible. And there's been a great, huge attempts of having the Bible dismissed and ripped away. And yet over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, it's the Bible that comes out. It's the Word of God. It never ceases to be the Word of God. And I'm saying, as someone in my 66th year, to anyone who's younger than me here, you can trust this book. You can trust this book. It is the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures.